Welcome to your heavenly refuge, a space to unwind your mind, slow down your rhythm, and fill your whole body up with inspiration.
Dreaming with open eyes, being in another world. Don't know what's truth or lie, all these stories that you've heard. Having difficulties to speak, because they seem so far away. It is time to be awake, got important things to say.
This podcast will nourish you with the stories from beautiful creators and entrepreneurs who have already made a change in their lives using their gifts to walk their talk. Welcome again. My name is Oyana Galordual, yoga teacher and wellness consultant, enthusiastic about bringing the stories of people who share their unique blueprints with the world. Welcome to Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers. Today we are talking about alchemy with our guest, Erika. Erika Tangari is the creator of the Soul Method and has served over 100,000 meals throughout her career. Erika doesn't see herself merely as a chef. She considers herself as an alchemist. She is on her own unique quest to understand the essence of life that enters into the elements around us, how these elements manifest into the food we later experience, and most importantly, how she can blend them together to create a culinary epiphany that reconnects people with their souls. In this episode, we are going to explore the power of food as a connector to our souls, and we are going to delve deep into the Soul Method. It's a pleasure to have you here. How are you, Erika?
I'm very, very good. Such a pleasure to hear you talk, and I'm very happy to be here and share about my passion and about the love for nutrition.
I'm so happy. I usually start by asking my guests about a moment that changed the direction of their lives. Could you share a pivotal event that has altered the course of your life?
Well, I think that there are few of them, but let's for sure name one that was the end of a relationship. Let's call that moment a pivotal moment. So let's say that I was working as a chef in a restaurant in Milano. On the paper, I had everything that make people happy, like a nice place to live, a good job, probably promotion coming or a new offering. But inside, something was incongruent. So let's say that the first time, or one of the time that I understood that I didn't know anything, and everything that I know that looked like was a lot was not useful for what my soul was seeking. Someone called that the dark night of the soul. Other people called that the breaking point. So I will say that as soon as I feel myself caged in the material world, that it become a pivotal moment when something in me want to chase and look for freedom and look for new road and new answer. That moment in time brings me to 1 year traveling into Asia, and that has been a big change in my life.
Do you find yourself lastly with more moments like this, that you feel even like a tiny bit in yourself is dying and something else is being born again?
Yes, that's exactly what happens. Sometimes it's a human characteristic, let's say more a brain characteristic of building up structure, and then we think that that structure is what we are till the inside start to communicate again clearly with us, because that structure has become so heavy or so rigid that doesn't allow the dance of life inside of us anymore. And so every time that that happens, the disruptive force, life force, require a change. So that was one, but yeah, I can say and I can see how much they are present in my life, and also why I'm becoming a little bit more wiser with the age, let's say. I'm mastering the not excessively structuring to then be a little bit more flexible when this kind of reawaken of awareness come to me, and so I can shift, change, and keep the research as my soul ask.
It's interesting. We need a structure to hold the flow of life, and at the same time, mostly we are looking for the aliveness inside of that structure.
And also accept the different phase, because structure is needed, as you said, because, for example, for certain kind of experience, because it's all about experience that we collect in this life and we go through. The point is, when the structure doesn't allow you anymore to experience, then you question the structure. But if that structure is allowing or have allowed you to experience something new, then you thank the structure and you let go. Or then you build the structure, because then you can experience. It's all about asking the why. But when the structure becomes just asking the when, what, how much, then you stone, we have a problem. But if you keep on asking the why, then you can keep on building, destroying, building, destroying.
So after what you shared, that episode in your life that you needed to let go of that work in Milan and go for a year of traveling, after all that, which structure did you build to feel content or satisfied, or also feel that your food skills were maybe held in a better way, or in a way that satisfied you better?
Yeah, this structure that it took a few years to get in shape and form, and thanks also to few people in my life that helped me push in through that. Because structure, also in my chart, if you go look at the planet in my chart, literally structure is something that come at me, and it's really something that I'm not mastering, but is one of the challenge in this life. That's why beautiful actually collection of different tools and perception, that is the soul method, come to life. So I can define that, and actually who also listen to me explain the soul method say, wow, this is an amazing structure. And on my side, that I'm very in the flow and very flowing, is almost funny, because yes, it's a structure that allow me to flow.
Let's start with the soul method. Would you like to talk to us more about it?
Well, first of all, what does it mean? So SOL stay for the secret of life. This is funny, because everyone, as soon as you speak about secret, they want to know. That's why I mainly use this tool, this game, because being an alchemist, people many times confuse the concept of being an alchemist of someone that knows. No, an alchemist is someone that recognizes that doesn't know. That's why he goes in the quest of research. That is an alchemist. That is someone that does know, not does not know. That's why he needs to put his life into the research of the why question. Who I am, where I'm coming from, why I'm here, which experience I'm seeking of feeding and try. And so the soul method become a very articulate and beautiful assemble of technique, tools, concept, principle that can help an alchemist, so a seeker of truth, through the journey. That's what soul method is. is articulate in a different layer and level. Let's say I'm not a fan of a recipe. A recipe is a list of things that you must or you have to do to arrive at a certain goal. That is a structure that is limited and is it doesn't allow the why. It's just a structure made for the what, how much, and when. It's how society till now has been built. But that's not what I teach. That's not the freedom that I teach. So I share technique that then will allow people to create through thousands of recipes, infinite recipe. Because once you understand how the energy move and manifest, then there is not anymore a secret. And so you can put your own divine touch, your own creativity on it. And you don't have to do the recipe of Erica, because that will be copy and paste. And in the creation, nothing is like that. Even though thousands of millions of cookbooks are made exactly like this.
So before you unveil a little bit more the secret behind the soul method, how did you decode this approach to food?
It came step by step. I will say that the title of the chapter came through the famous haha moment. Yeah, that moment in which you are out of space and time and you connect things that has always been with you. You could somehow feel it as a déjà vu, but you never connect the dot. And when that 7-8 event in the different space and time in different location, they all connect and make a sense. So it's like a sort of a collection and connection of different and different ingredient and different sign, they all match together. They completed the puzzle, and that is how it came to life. So it came to life to start to answer the question of people, because people were asking me, "How do you do? How do you make that taste so unique? How do you reach umami in each plate? How do you make me feel as I feel after eating?" So the soul method has been created to answer that question and to also help chef and whoever want to approach the food in a more holistic way to answer their question on how can I do it? How can I also do what you do? That's how it came to life, more or less 7-8 years ago, start to take the shape. So I'm cooking now, it's 18 year. I love to cook since I was 6-7, because it was the way of connecting through my mother and my grandmother. So it was the way of love, especially being Italian. It's literally something that we use to communicate in a more healthy and less codependent way, the love. That's what is food for us. And for me, it became a little bit more a way of understanding and a metaphor for all the transformative energy that exists in the world. And then I start to being able to see how through the food that literally enter and be part of whoever will eat it for the future day, months, depend of the nutrient. There are certain nutrients that will stay with who eats it for years. How that kind of vibration can literally go and integrate in the blueprint, or remember to the blueprint, or remind to the blueprint of the person that is eating that food what coherency means. And so I adopt certain principles that are more connect to a way of life and a philosophy, let's call it an ancient philosophy, and I apply that principle to the practical tools, to the practical practice of the cooking.
Could you talk more about those principles you apply in cooking?
Some of them at the beginning. One principle that I love to apply is the triple win. The triple win also connects to the zoom in, zoom out. That is another tool that we can call as above, so below. There is a common and or right now quite well-known law, let's call it, or paradigm, where it simply communicates how we are part of a fractalic reality, where in everything is contained everything. What does it mean? Probably we all know that image of the Buddha fractal, where you keep on zooming in and you see the same image reflecting it, or a drop of water in which you can see the reflection of the entire ocean, and the singular, the single cell contain all the information of the bigger cell, or another example of this fractalic reality. When I was only a fetus in the belly of my mother, I had all my ovulos ready for the future menstruation or etc. So, and my mother, when she was in the belly of my grandmother, she already, I was already there in potential. And when my grand-grandmother was in the belly of my grand-grand-grandmother, I was already in potential there in the ovaries, in the ovaries of my grand-grandmother and then my mother. So that's the reality, the nature of this world, where everything is inside of everything else. So the concept of triple winning is, for example, I'm cooking something that is very good for my client. So my client will eat this and is very good because it's very healthy, has a lot of good fat, has a lot of good nutrient. Is it good also for me? I'm happy to cooking it. I'm me, the chef, I'm winning by cooking it, or is it something that is, for example, karmically, or it's affecting my happiness, or is affecting my health? If in this case is already one of the three pole of the triple win is not winning. But let's say that it's very healthy, I make me happy, the chef is happy, the client is happy. Then there is the third pole, because usually in business there is always a double win. I win if you win. But we always forget the planet. We always forget the environment. We always forget, is the thing that I'm cooking for you happy to be cooked? So there is always that third angle to stabilize this line. Because many times we consider things in a very linear way, like Egyptian, like flat on the wall. And we miss sometimes the profound, the depth of it. And by adding sometimes that perspective, that is the third pole, and by adding this to the equation, we notice that maybe it's not so congruent, it's not so coherent what I'm doing. So it's an invitation to zoom out in the perspective and make it sometimes wider and sometimes even tighter, because you want to go deep. So this is one of the principles that when I cook and I teach how to approach the soul method is very useful, because sometimes people go so in the creation of a certain plate that they forgot that they are very much going far from the principle of a healthy, coherent living on this planet.
What you just named is that the principles of the soul method, or some of them, are that it needs to be healthy and coherent mm-hmm. with the planet. Anything else that for you is very important?
Yeah, there is a staying at the beginning. So we are literally in the door. We are entering, like in Wimbledon. When you enter in the Wimbledon, there is a text on top of you, or when in the Divina Commedia, no? Before we enter, we have to read a little bit, which are the not even rule of engagement, but somehow the principle that if we put it in common, then we can start to go in the creation phase. Other three principles are for sure local, seasonal, even though seasonality is of course changing, so this give a lot of space and time to. It's quite wide. It's flexible. It's not. You need to eat that because it's a winter season. So it's also going away from the map that you can find on the internet, let's say, but is literally watching around you what the farmers are doing. That what does it mean seasonal, and local, of course, eat what is growing around you, because it's also, we go back to the concept of coherency, everything is a frequency, everything is a body that has atoms organized for that kind of frequency. And in each area, each zone, the frequency is different. So being in Ibiza in winter time and eating a pineapple that comes from Brazil or South Africa where it's summertime is not creating for sure coherence, so grounding into your body. So what happened that your body doesn't become a nice place to live? It's uncomfortable because that incongruency of two different frequency, and this is, you can see when two different waves unify on the ocean, or you can see it when two different currents unify on the planet. What happened? It's a hurricane, or it's a big wave. So that creates an unharmonious and out of harmony event, and that's what happened in your body, and that's many times what happened to the spirit or the soul then. Plug out. So bye-bye, see you later, because this body is not a good place to be. So eating local and eat seasonal, it also helped to be in presence, to be embodied, to be here and now, and not with a little piece of you in South Africa or in Brazil, because that's a wormhole, that's a space travel. And above all of this, the third part of connect to the product is karma free. So, and this connect to another principle, that is build the net, don't fall into the net. Because if you buy, especially in the city here in Ibiza, we are quite lucky. We are surrounded, even though we are surrounded by farmers, and only the 94% 94% of food consumed on the island is not local, so that's a huge number. Only the 6% of vegetables are local, so imagine, we still have a long way to go. But karma-free means that you stop to buy what is said, what they tell you to buy, but you start to buy things that you can literally see from when you receive it from in your hand to when they were under the soil. You know all the passage, and you know that this is a virtuous cycle and not a corrupt cycle. So, for example, you know that by giving your I like it, giving your vote by buying that product, you are sustaining a family, you are supporting your community, you are happily helping your connection with this farmer, you are speaking with him and say, oh, that tomato was amazing, what you will have next week, or maybe you can plant this, and start an exchange of seeds, and start an exchange of information, even how to make it. When I go to the market, I will be usually there for half an hour, I spend 1 hour and a half, because then arrive people don't know what that vegetable is that maybe I propose to my friends to start to plant, and then they start to produce it, but people here they are not used. So I start to explain, okay, wow, this is a cima di rapa, you know how you do it. And so you start to spread information around. And this is culture, this is something that enrich, because with the vegetable that you spend, that you can pay 30 cents, you can eat a very healthy detox for your liver, and you didn't know before. And this allows you to create this net of power, this net of health, instead of buying that avocado that come from Peru, that you don't know which is the story, you don't know which kind of family are fighting for the lowest price and the transportation, you don't know how that that has been taken very, very green from the tree, and probably even cutting badly the tree, and then transporting it in a dirty boat, in a freeze. Like, you don't know all this stuff, and then you are going to eat it. So you are voting for all of that lower vibration, you are voting for all that not very harmonic behavior, and not only you are putting it in your body, you are putting it in you are serving it to your family, and then we question if why in our family there is fight, there is incongruent attitude, there is not cohesion, there is not harmony. We are what we eat. So build the net and don't fall into the trap net that has been built by the system and by who wants you just to be a consumer.
Wow, so important. Okay, so let's help the listeners that are on Ibiza or they are planning to visit Ibiza to build their own net before they come. So let's help them have a map of places they can go or resources of farmers that are into regenerative agriculture or they are just growing their own food and they can go to.
So someone that did a very nice job on this island are the guys of Ibiza Produce. They already create a map with all the organic farmers and producers of the island. So that is a very shortcut to have the entire map and have all the contact and connection. They have a website, Ibiza Produce, and they also have Instagram. So that's the perfect place to go and check. Whoever, so you know from who is producing egg to who is creating syntropic cultivative farming, so they are very good in that. Another place where I go every Friday, because it's open only the Friday, is the market close to the cooperative in San Antonio, and there is already a good selection of I call them friends because we collaborate on the same plan, and they are farmers from the area of San Antonio. The San Antonio Valley was a river valley, so it's quite rich, the soil, so the production are quite nice. On the Saturday there is the Forada market. It's tiny but still very sweet, and then we have the big project on the island here that are Terra Masia, Juntos, etc. For my vegetable, I really really like the space of the market, because the market is the place of culture. Imagine that our the week Primera, Segunda Fera, Terza Fera, everything is based on the market energy, on the market vibe. So you can literally go there with not a huge amount of money. You can take care of your family. I literally, and we eat quite well in my family, I literally go once a week on Friday to do grocery, and that's it. From there, you have the best selection of the goat cheese of the island, the best selection of citric or vegetable. So, yeah, that's a good place to go.
Yes, so good. Yeah, I must say, I also go once, like to Ecophrases, and then, so the majority of the names we are giving are part of Ibiza Produce, because they built the net. As Erica said, you can check them on Instagram, or they have a website, so Ecophrases is part of them. Then I get chicken from, I hope I pronounce it well, Terra Viva or Tierra Viva. They grow their own chicken, and let's say the mission of this chicken is to feed us. So it's like I love to get them from there. So that's another place. I don't have such a culture of market.
It's the reality check. That's a little bit the help that we can have. That's funny, because when people are starting the process of reawakening, a reawakening is simply replace yourself where you are at. The isolation and the fact that we can be in a completely different bubble, that's the reawakening, is what we started the call with. When we start and you ask, when happened big shift, when the moment of big shift happened in your life, and are that moment in which you have the check of reality and you see, I am not where I am in a position that is very far from who I am. By checking and rechecking with the farmers, by going back and seeing from where your food, so who you will be, come from, you literally can have a check of your reality, support your environment and be part of it. That doesn't mean that you have to go and drive the machinery to help him to grow food, but it means that you allow the energy to flow through you, through the soil, and keep on moving. Because our energy is our attention. If our attention is hijacked, it has been stolen by entity, energetic entity, that can be a society, that can be a program, that can be a drama. The point of all this method, soul method, is to bring you back to you. So all the tools, all the technique, all the principle are reality check to bring you back in connection with you. It's awareness and connectivity towards yourself.
When did that start happening for you in your life?
So it happened when I was before it was happening unconsciously. And then it happened, the first time that I see it consciously was a Sunday that I took literally, I think, 3 or 4 hours to cook a risotto. I was not professional as I am now. So the kitchen of the house of my mother was almost exploded. I was experimenting with this black rice. It's called Venere rice. When I was 15, it was just being created. So I actually met the man that produced it, hybridizing a species from Japan, a wild species, and a species from Lombardy. That is an area, Lombardia is an area where we are called risottari, with a lot of rice. So I was trying to make a risotto with a very raw and very sauvage, very wild rice, so not really acting as a riso for risotto. So changing pot, and this rice will never cook. It took me literally around 50, 60 minutes to just domate that wild grain. It was very difficult. My mother and my father were coming and asking, all good? I was like, yes, we will have the risotto, don't worry. It was really, really challenging. But I finally could make it happen. I start to play with the spices, because at the time I was still cooking with animal, and in that case was sausages with pork from Sicily. But you can imagine I completely miscalculate the timing, so it was rubber at the time, because in a risotto normally in 20 minutes is done. In that case, no, I was over the hour and a half of cooking, so that poor sausages. So what I did, I retake the sausages, recook for a long time, but re-add some taste, because the sausage lost all the fennel smell, all the beautiful nuance that it had, and I start to add some cinnamon and some nutmeg to it. Never did something like that. And slowly, slowly, I build up again the taste. And at the end, by rebuilding a sort of reverse engineering, I put so much effort. There was so much love in what I did. I didn't let go. I say, I will arrive to have it. Was two o'clock, 2:30. We usually eat at 1, so it was very late. My mother, my father was walking around the kitchen like a shark, waiting for food. But what I could see that day was the presence in their eyes. What I mean, that many times when we eat or when we were at the table, they were all speaking about their job or things that were happening, or they were distracted by something, but I saw them eating that food, their heart melt, in their face, a light came back into their eyes. Like I could see their spirit come back home, and I could see them looking at me and say, what is this? Like the something bring them in presence. That day, I thought that was the rice, that was a sort of a medicinal power of that. But then I understood that was all the presence, all the attention, all the energy, and all my literally guiding my energy towards that act in complete presence, in complete prayer, in complete, in Greek, they have a word that is meraki. When you fall in love and you melt completely with the art and the act that you are doing, there is not any more separation between you. And in that case, no separation between me and that eternal risotto. That is what happened. I become that, and they could feel it. Because through me, and so through the plate, we all went back home. We all reconnect to source. That was the first time that I could see what is possible to achieve through food and through any act of creation and heart, if you just allow your intuition to speak through. You can bring people home.
With which awareness do you move in your kitchen?
Kitchen for me is the moment of my meditation, is my practice, is where where I also go when I feel off or I feel disconnect, where I'm feeling emotion that are getting stuck in me. For example, if I get stuck in a certain emotion, then I bake or I create. So it's very good for me to move energy. So now that I practice it a lot, I use it as a tool to move energy inside of me. So I use it for reconnection, I use it for grounding, I use it for unlock a sexual power, so creative power if it's locked. So I literally use it as my Kundalini practice, but I practice it a lot. So that's how I use it and how I allow this this practice to guide me and to use me and to be channeled for it. Then when I'm cooking for people, then I just give myself as a tool to energy to guide me. And then into this, you then connect with the energy of each element and they also guide you, because that rice, that thyme guides me, or that meat, that thyme that lost a lot of taste due to the adding of water, etc., guide me on how to enrich through taste. And now I went to India, I know that cinnamon and meat can, and nutmeg can be a very nice meeting. But at the time, I just trusted, because even my grandma, when she came into the kitchen, say, what are you doing with cinnamon? That cinnamon was only for dessert, was not even a thought. But I trust what the element communicate to me. So that's a little bit the space in which I go when I cook. I completely open up, and it's such a relief, because in our day-to-day, and especially here in the island, we are lucky. Like I sit here in front of you, we can be open. We are lucky. But what one of the tool of control, a part of creating a net for you to fall into, has been creating this connection and creating separation between each other. So I have to close up. But when I'm in the kitchen, I completely open up. So everything communicate with me, everything, the ingredient communicate and explain me. So who is really cooking is not me. I'm literally not the chef. I'm the one that is executing. And so I allow the taste, I pick the taste from, because it's already there, I pick what will be created that doesn't exist but is already there, and I allow the creation to guide me.
Okay, and for example, if you are preparing something in the winter, imagine, you're processing something maybe to have it ready for the summer, and you still don't know who this food is going to reach. Mm-hmm. Do you do it a little bit different? Or is always the same awareness or state you are in?
Yeah, it's always different. And sometimes then when I serve that food, it's like, that's why I put that. Like it's like reading a romance, and you start and there are things, and when you close it, you say, that's why he was explaining this story at the beginning of the narrative. Because maybe I add something, only an ingredient, a specific ingredient, and then at that specific dinner or retreat or that guest that come at my house is dealing with a certain kind of recovery from that organ. And then look, exactly that spices that is connecting to that organ went into that fermentation that I'm serving that day. So yeah, now I'm not surprised anymore when it happened, but I'm always tiggle. Like every time that happened, I'm not like, oh my God, I know that is not a coincidence, but I just somehow inside of me smile at the spirit, at the energy, say, you did it again. Nice. Thank you. That's very cool. So it's a sort of a inner dialogue to the guidance that know everything. And we are, it's us. So by tapping into that energy, that needs that we start with, not the needs of the alchemist that knows, that doesn't know anything, and so needs to connect with the philosopher's stone, needs to transform everything in gold, needs to connect with this bigger self, because it knows everything. And when you are in that space, the Meraki space, where you are connect with your higher self, you can access any information. You can access, you are unlimited. And that's the place. And that's what the dark night of the soul evokes and call in you. So that dark place in which many today are finding themselves is the best place to be. Just don't trust that that darkness is the end of the journey. It's just the push to start to ask why.
You mentioned that when you go into the kitchen, you have this space of trust. And for me, for example, to have that openness or that trust, usually I need to feel grounded and my nervous system needs to feel relaxed. How do you ground yourself and work with your nervous system before starting your creations?
Well, things that I always check on me, then for everyone is a little bit different. So when I work with people that have a tendency in Ayurveda, you say a tendency on Vata, a little bit more to be aware of all the energy that are around. Then in that case, there is then a specific food that will help. So a little bit more rooting food. But what I suggest is always to simplify life. So what I notice in the kitchen anyway is my posture. My posture already helps a lot. So when I'm cooking, anything that is crossed, laying on the table, or no, you want literally to be to have your spine well aligned and to have the shoulder down. What happens many times cooking, if you notice or you're cutting things, you go with your shoulder close to your ears. That disconnects immediately your brain from the heart. So good things are do a few breath to go back and into your heart, because you want to cook from there, not from your mind. So leg a little bit wide open, never to tense the knees. I always try to find a little bit of relaxed position. Depends how high is your kitchen, but if is it too low, just play with your knees a little bit. So go a little bit down and be more or less, let's say that just few centimeters below your belly button has to be the surface in which you are working. If is it lower, then bend your knees. That helps you to be with your chakra, that your ground, your root chakra grounded on earth. So you want to have the pied à terre, the mess à terre. Then shoulder down in the way that you are not tensifying anything, but you're literally allowing the energy to flow. Because as soon as you pull up your shoulder, you are closing the energy. So what is happening that your hand are actually taking from the food instead of keep on charging with your energy. So that's one of the things that is quite important. That there are a few techniques just to keep the flow open instead of close. But is I'm happy to share it in person. Other things is make your life simple. Make your life simple means many times we spend, if you're not a chopper, if you don't like to chop because you get distracted, don't chop so much. So instead of to make the same soup of sweet potato, instead of chopping all the sweet potato and cut it and put it in a bowl, in a pot and cook it, then throw that sweet potato in the oven as it is without taking away the skin. And then when it's cooked, you take the skin out, you put it in a pan, you add all the ingredients, you mix it and you have it. So it's always make your life simple in the kitchen. Few tools, make your life simple.
And I imagine that sometimes you have people helping you. How do you work with them?
Well, I'm very blessed because a lot of people want to work with me and a lot of people want to learn. So I have so many people requesting to work side to side with me. It's a sort of apprenticeship, so it's forming them. What happened when I work with someone, it's a sort of relationship made for growing, both of us. I learn from them always, and also I learn from the challenge or from the difference, the diversity that each of them has, and the quality. So I'm learning more and more how to give space to their creativity and allow them to play. It's becoming a little bit what a director of an orchestra is doing. I'm less and less playing the violin, less and less playing the tuba, less and less, and I'm allowing people that become good in that to do it, and I'm good to harmonize. I'm good to see the energy and harmonize them. That at the end is what I do with food. I allow the carrot to express the best of herself. I allow the oil to be at the best of himself. So just always wanting the highest benefit of all, that's another very important principle of the soul method. By allowing the highest benefit of all, it means that my helper is at highest benefit. What does it mean? So each time I question myself, what does it mean? What's the highest benefit for him? What it has to learn? What's the result? How can I help? And so it's not correcting, but it's suggesting. What do you think about that posture? Do you think that is the best the position for you to finalize that job? Ah, no, okay, maybe. And so it's a continuous questioning. I never know when I start a new job or when I start a new collaboration what I will teach. It shows itself. So when I'm collaborating with someone, I'm saying yes to put myself again open and available to be channeled in the highest benefit of all.
Wow, that's a lot of trust.
Yeah, it's very, very beautiful place to be. It was not like this. And I could see how much energy was taking. Now I can literally be there and cook for a lot of people and managing a lot of people and being very happy to still teach and share with the group and still have a lot of energy. I actually finished that I have to slow down, ground, and close the channel to then be able in the night to sleep because I'm too full of energy. Mm-hmm. Was not like this when I start to cook. I was dead after a day of cooking. In this way, you are always a source and you are with source, so you are never tired.
From what I hear from you about cooking or collaborating with people, from being open to what wants to be shared there, how does that translate into menus?
So also in this case, let's take, for example, a retreat. Let's say 7 days in which I have 30 people that have to eat morning, afternoon, evening. So what happened? I go to the market without any list. This happened more or less 2 days before. And then I already work 6, 7, 8 months before. So I never stop. Why the structure is useful now? Because I build what is the richness for a chef, that is the pantry. So, and how that happened? Based on the triple win and the highest benefit of all. The farmers I work with, they call me, they had an excess of this vegetable, an excess of, they are throwing away that vegetable. Can you help us, Erika? Okay, give me the vegetable, I will transform it. Half is for me, half is for you. It's my time. Sometimes some preparation takes literally days. But then you have the most amazing tomato sauce made home and it stays 2-3 years on your shelf and then you just can use it when you want. Or orange jam or lemon jam or kumquat jam or meat from the excess of watermelon. So a teriyaki, semi-dried meat. So I have material that I can allow me to do a very high, sophisticated dish that I will not be able to create in the moment during a retreat where in a kitchen that many times is a tiny kitchen of a villa, because people here build big villa with tiny kitchen. So to manage that space, the time, that amount, but with a certain finesse, then you work in time, in the winter time, that is what in ancient people have done, like all the fermentation, all the things that are going now in the mainstream, where actually they work in the winter to don't throw away stuff. So it's the zero waste policy. I'm simply doing that. And it's not even something that I decide to do, but because I'm open to the environment, to spirit, because I'm open to the net that I build, reconnecting to what we were saying, because I'm applying what I teach, the kilometer zero, so the locality, the seasonality, and the karma free, because I'm open to that, then things happen to me. They send me a message, Erica, can you help me with this, with that? And then this summer, I will have the most amazing bergamot jam, bergamot and ginger jam, that it's actually now home cooking, because I answer a call. Where? Because I was saving a product and I'm not running in the season, in summer, full of people. I'm not running to buy a gem that will cost me whatever, but I actually work it and produce it in the time. That's a little bit what I'm trying to teach also to other chefs to be sustainable. Because a lot of chefs, they come here in the season, they arrive 1 week before they start the work. And that's not in the highest benefit of all. That's not in the triple win. That's not. Or yes, but then become a little bit stressful for them, because there are also other that they don't go and then buy to, let's call it, the big chain or whatever, but then they are stressful. So that's also not in the highest benefit of all, because you don't need to be stressed, because you are serving your stress to your to your guest, because they are eating, even if they don't perceive it in the moment. But then, if you are in this space of clarity, creation, and coherency, and by the fact that they are eating your coherency, your equilibrium, your balance, your highest benefit of all, and your inner zero karma, karma-free food, you are giving to them the code for freedom and liberation. And right now, any chef has the rule of the healer, the silent healer, because you don't have to explain all of that, but you have to walk the walk, because a lot of healthy chefs are not walking the walk, and that's the problem. That's also the solution, because it's very easy to change.
Explain to us the difference between consuming and experiencing food.
Yeah, there is a huge difference in that, but that's not only fault of chef. That's not the research only there. There is an entire society that is based in consumo, that is adding things instead of experience it. Experience it is moving from where you are into that experienciare. It's literally entering into that field. As we were saying at the beginning, you move from your structure, from where, and you enter with trust in a new environment to have an experience of that. This is all energy. So it's like when you travel or when you have a regression, when someone is guiding you to have a visual experience, so you close your eyes, you breathe, you can visualize certain color or a certain image or a butterfly, or you follow your breath. So you guide your mind to relax, and then you allow your sense, many times is the hearing, the visual, and sometimes is physical, to start to receive image of information. In food is almost the same. The point is, if the person that is guiding you is a little bit confused, so doesn't allow you to finish your breath, so okay, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, or it's accelerate, or is incoherent in what he's saying, like, okay, now we will see the color, and it doesn't guide you in the, okay, you are in a beautiful land, and that now you can smell the poo-poo of the cow, or it brings you in very weird place, because it's incoherent, then your experience, even if it's your subconscious, because here we are speaking of not a physical real experience, but it's something inside, is a little bit off, is a little bit broken. When we build an experience of chef, it's the same things. If there is not coherency in our step, if we are not walking as a prayer or in a protocol, that's what I'm teach with the soul method. I teach also the basic of the knowledge, because it's not only about fermentation. What does it mean? What's the chemical behind? Why we need to transform the carbohydrate in a different way? And so you give not only an experience where the person can immerse itself in a new self. So what I'm offering with an experience of the Soul Method is the future you, is the best version of you that you can be, because it's you. I'm not doing it. I'm just creating the space in which you are stepping in. And that space, because I'm walking the walk by respecting all the Soul Method basics, I'm allowing to create an experience that is bringing you to your highest potential. That is because is coherent, that is because in the highest benefit of all, that's why, that's because there is a triple win. And many times people don't see it. That's why they do it. That's why they create a consumption, something that is consumable, but doesn't bring you into an experience. Because somewhere something is corrupt, rupto, that from Latin means broken. And what is broken? Your intention. Your intention, instead of being intense. Intense means a line that is not weak, but is intention, is kept straight. As soon as you let go one of the two sides, your intention fell and become corrupto. And that is when you are not walking the walk of a chef. That is all the things that we just mentioned before, some of them. Then there are more. But that's, yes, the big difference from having an experience. And that's what humanity right now is going through. We are somehow or somewhere, you can hear that we are changing from carbon base to crystalline base. We are shifting from a vibration to another. We are going from a density, three dimension, to another density, five dimensional. All of this stuff are not only woo-woo talk, are literally things that we can help and support by creating experience of what you will be as a human in this transformation going on right now here on the planet. And by serving you this five-dimensional food, so I call it the food of the future, because it's the food that we will need to eat to embody and to be the human species that we are becoming. I'm just here serving you what your body is needing and asking, to then watch it, seeing it, and say, yes, that's what I want. I didn't know. You don't know before knowing. That's why I'm serving more food, more Soul Method and five-dimensional food that I can, because once you know, you can go back. And once your body, your cell, feel that vibration, that the journey starts. And from where we start at the beginning, that uncomfortable place that is the old you is not anymore a possibility. And you have to start your journey and move towards, for the highest benefit of all, your higher self. That's what Soul Method really does, is a Trojan horse to move you from that uncomfortable place that is the old you.
From what I understand from you, this method has certain principles, and then each person can apply it in their own unique way. So they don't need to cook as Erica. This method would help them find their own way to cook in the best way for themselves.
Because also, again, is not a structure, but allow you to build a structure. So allow you to cook for the adolescent you, but also to the premenopause you that will not need to eat the same things. So, but give you the tool to ask to yourself and then to your cell and to your body, what do I need? One of the big mistakes that is at the basic of cooking and is at the basic of many chefs, or how many times we ask to ourselves, what do I cook today? What do we eat today? What I can prepare? That's not the right question, because that is based on consuming. The right question is, what do my body need today? What do my body can digest? What's the best for my body today? That is not coming from what I feel, because sometimes the feel is from your candida that is building up because of the sugar of yesterday, or it's maybe hormonal, because, and that's good to hear, listen to your hormone anyway, but it's your hormone that is building up and is an out of balance. Or so listen to who is speaking and asking what my body can digest and can absorb. Because many times we think about what we can eat without thinking of what we can absorb. Because eating doesn't finish in the ingestion, it's just the beginning. Because then we have the absorption, then we have the excretion, we have the assimilation. All these phases are to be considered, especially by a chef. I'm not asking to everyone now to go deep into food and to the nature of the digestion, but if you are doing it as a job, maybe questioning a little bit more and not stopping just to the ingestion phase, because you are responsible as a chef till the last part. I always say to my guest, I stay with you from the mouth to the down. So that's a little bit the responsibility that we have.
Can you elaborate more on nourishment or shine some light on what it means to you, or which are the things that help you be nourished in your daily life?
Wider than just connecting with food. Many times a fasting can be the most nourishing moment of that someone has to pass through, because you are nourishing parts that are not listened. The food is very powerful to add, but also to block things. If we think a very powerful example is children, when they cry, many times they receive food. That's what we keep on doing when we are adult. So when there is an unbalance or an unhappiness or a sadness, many times we go to food, because when we were crying as a children, they were giving us food. When a child cries, the boobs of the mom immediately come. That's one of the problem also in how we get programmed, because it's all about programming. So little suggestion for new mama: if your child is crying and is not crying because he's starving, don't give him the boobs, because let's not connect the food as the panacea, the placebo for everything. So, and I'm not taking myself out from that. So you recognize when you're eating because you're bored, you are eating because you are sad, you are eating because, so that is not nourishing, that is a replacement. So in that case, you are replacing another need. For example, in these days that I'm sitting a lot in front of a computer because I have to have some stuff done, but my entire energy will love to travel in this specific moment, or just being stimulated with some philosophical talk. There was a beautiful course that I want to go and do, but I cannot because I have things coming up. So time-wise was not happening, but it was a philosophical meeting where I would love to go. I had to take an airplane. I didn't do it, and I found myself eating an extra slice of amazing, because it was a matcha tiramisu that I made, but I could see myself be frustrated and eat an extra slice of it because I was not where I really want to be. So there are sometimes part of ourselves that are in need of nourishment, and then we just take a replacement. The point of taking a replacement is not a problem if you bring awareness to it. So also doesn't mean becoming a Nazi with yourself, so it's fine, but who and what needs nourishment in this moment? Sometimes it's not the belly. So nourishment is a little bit, and at the end, what needs to be nourished is your growth. What needs to be nourished is your inner self, is your soul that needs to be listened. And to nourish, what you need to do first, listen. Because nourishing is an answer of a need. But if you are nourishing without first have asked the question, who needs to be nourished? And if you are nourishing without first asking what is needed to be nourished, then you are just consuming adding something. Consume at the end is adding something, but nourishing is answering with something that receive a question.
Changing gears a bit, Which are the processes you use to enhance the vital force of your ingredients?
Yeah, so here we go in another side of the soul method, very important. And here we introduce the two big chapters that are called activation and antidotation. So with activation, we means everything that is in potential dormant, so in a state of conservation, we need to activate, so to open it up before consuming it. That can go through different technique, from the fermentation to the soaking to the creating a dough. Everything is a elaboration, so you allow life, here the secret of life, you allow the flow of life, so the extra ingredient, to enter in that inanimate, before inanimate, seeds. For example, that if I knew activation concept when I was 15 and I was cooking that eternal risotto for my family, then I could soak overnight that risotto, add an extra night in sprouting, have the same risotto, but with enhancing of taste and flavor, because when it starts the pre-germination, a lot of more minerals and a lot of more nutritional value are available. That also, as a side effect, goes and add umami and perfume to the grain, and plus I would be able to cook it in 25 minutes. That's what activation is use the quality of this planet, the innate natural quality of a seeds, of a grain, to just do his own job and allow the bacteria, that is the life force, the macro life force of the planet with fungi and with yeast, to work for you, to pre-digest and prepare the big long chain, especially of carbs that are complicated for the body to manage, allow them to be pre-digested outside of your body to then be very fast assimilate and use inside of your body, plus enrich of amino acid, fundamental, and enzyme, fundamental for the digestion. Without enzyme, you cannot digest. The enzyme is the other part of the brick. It's like, okay, you arrive home with the IKEA packet and you want to build up everything, but you forgot the tool. And so without the tool, that is the enzyme, you have an amazing wardrobe, but you cannot build it up. So you bring in, you eat stuff, you have the pieces, but you don't have the enzyme, that is the screw. So that's a little bit how activation works, and then can go a little bit deep, because you can literally do everything with activation and have something that has, let's say, 10 stars of value of nutrition, that just adding the water for the sprouting process can go up to 100 or up to 1,000 on the same value of nutrition. So we don't go in the specific, because we don't do a specific example, but can happen with sesame grain and a gomasio grain. The amount of iron, the amount of zinc that is available, and simply because we activate it by soaking it and then by roasting it, we have 3 times the amount available respect of the dormant seeds in the plastic bag. That's also very logical, because if you think that bag of dry rice can stay on a shelf for years without being touched by any bacteria, because it's not alive, not even bacteria want to eat it, but we eat it. That's not very wise from the human being. We are all the nature doesn't eat that grains because it's dry and dormant. But if you try to activate, then it will start to ferment, because bacteria and life will be attracted by it. We are the unique form of life, because our brain that is not attracted by life. What I'm sharing and teaching is, if you want to live a full life, super alive, be attracted by life. Don't be attracted by the opposite. And then the other aspect is the antidotation. So as been said, every poison is also medicine, and every medicine has inside some poison, as Paracelso said. This is true, and this is also why certain specific kind of culture or medicine, traditional medicine, can be macrobiotic or can be Ayurveda. They eliminate completely certain type of food. My approach is a little bit different. We live in Mediterranean and we are surrounded by nightshade and they grow quite a lot. So instead of, I always say, if you know me, you don't avoid me. So if you know which are the practice to created the antidote. So yes, I recognize that there is a poison, it's called solanina, and there are thousands of other anti-nutrients in thousands of other ingredients. But if you know, and if you look how, and then you antidote it, so you eliminate the excess through pH process, that is salt and vinegar fundamentally, or through fire, or through fermentation, or through long marination, then you can have it. That's it. So I teach principle and technique to literally give freedom and to say no to anything. It's very inclusive, the soul method is not exclusive in any side of it. It's literally making the highest palatable, beautiful and healthy food available and accessible to everyone.
Like for example, to activate a bean, for example, you can put it in water, you can sprout it, or those two are ways to activate.
Yeah. And then there are also ways to allow some of the anti-nutrient, excess of anti-nutrient, for example, to be eliminated. There is the classical extreme yeast solution, that is with the seaweed, in this case, the kombu. There is the Indian and Arabic solution, that is with all the family of the jeera, the cumin. And then there is the European and the Mediterranean version that use, in this case, the bay leaves, that is very helping and eliminate a lot of phytic acid and a lot of anti-nutrients. So I mainly love to use a combination of that. And then it depends who is consuming then. So there are, and then depends also of the quality of the diet, of course. But then you can add, for example, some miso after having cooked it and changed the water a couple of times of these beans. Mm-hmm. And then you add some already fermenting food to allow these beans to be easily digest. So there are a little bit of trick, and these are all falling under the category of antidotation and activation. And many times there is not one only kind, but they all get entangled one with each other, and different technique, they all overlaps.
They all play with each other.
Mm-hmm. And then you create a recipe. By taking all technique and changing the order and combining together, then you make mistake and then you create natto. Then you make mistake and you create miso. Then you make mistake and it's actually from mistake that all these amazing ingredients, soya sauce, they come into life. So a combination of antidotation and activation technique combined together and allowing a certain kind of bacteria to take the predominance to enhance flavor and to liberate probiotic and prebiotic value. And here we are, thousands of years of culture or ancient mistake that become cultural food like kimchi or like, yeah.
What is fermentation?
So fermentation is an alchemical process. The first one that defined fermentation were the alchemists in the 1300s. Fermentation is the act of transformation of long chain of carbohydrate and then sometimes also starch in a more simple element by creating carbon oxide as the farting effect, as I like to say it, when people drink a kombucha or kefir, it's like, you like the fart of my bacteria. It's quite funny. Because you literally do peace with life with it, but yes, is a group of bacteria and yeast, many times selected. They start a process of pre-digestion. So what they do, they attack many times is a carb that get attack and then start to be decompose or break in a part, and then from there other new element come out, many times acid and amino acid. And from that, different flavor get liberate, gas always get liberate, and then everything is a fermentation, beer, wine, olives, honey, sauerkraut, bread. Unluckily, in the modern soya originally, what falling into the net today means that many of these, even the bread, is not anymore made with fermentation, but with a fast leavening made with chemicals. So there is not anymore the time of this process. That's why gluten became so heavy on the belly, because it's not digested by bacteria, it's not antidotate by bacteria, and then become heavy on the belly because the body cannot cope with it, cannot cope with that complex chain of gluten that at the end are two different amino acids that create a bond, a strength bond, and the body cannot breaking apart, and so become an accumulation, as the Ayurveda call it, an accumulation of amla, that is an accumulation of waste that the body cannot cope with.
Okay, and from what I hear from you, it also gives the body some bacteria that are healthy.
Totally. Give an easier job. It's like the little birds. When the birds are very tiny, the mother predigests the food and then give to them a vomit. So I'm not vomiting food for you. Sorry, we are not so we are not at that level. And it's not also what bacteria does, but it's a sort of predigestion. So yes, it's making it simple for your body and making it fast and absorbable. Because if you think that that anti-nutrition that through the anti-dotation get eliminate, that are sort of a upset bodyguard at the entrance of your nutritional tract. So what they are doing, they don't allow you to access the good. What means that you eat, and many times it's passed through your gut, then you eliminate, and the time that cube of Rubik is solved, you are already flushing the toilet. So what does it mean? That your body has to use a lot of energy to don't receive anything. It's like working a lot, not receiving any payment. That's not nice.
I feel like it's a good timing to start wrapping up our conversation for today. There are still, as I said, like different topics like double detox, for example, that you do with your partner. And did you finish the one you were doing?
Yes.
How did that go?
Every time is an amazing, a surprising container. So it finished amazingly. People were blown away also this time. So double detox is this container of 3 weeks where we allow everyone to be nourished. So, and as I was saying, sometimes nourishing means fasting. So we use these 3 weeks as a container to guide people into three phases. The first phase is awareness, the awareness that you need to navigate and to see what you were depending from, that can be food-wise, but also emotional-wise, because I take care of the body part, and my partner Michelle, she take care of the mind part. Because as soon as you take away a piece of chocolate and that coffee in the morning, I can tell you that your brain will not be happy and will start to fight. And that's the perfect moment to start to see which are the attitude of fight. And you can literally get rid of certain habits and certain protocol and certain, not protocol, but certain program that are in autopilot guiding your entire life. And in that 3 weeks, you can bring awareness towards that, evidence that, seeing that, and purge, clean that. Every time that we do this, now it's more than 120 people that pass through. There will be the next one in April. We will start end of April. And every time people are so shocked because they think they are entering in a detox program for the body, and they finish with their life change because they get rid of a certain attitude or certain problematic that they maybe were taking with them since 20 years. Then for sure, the body feel much better, feel much lighter. And there are people that in that week of fasting, they create their own program. They download information that their higher self was trying to communicate since here. So there is a lot happening through that. But it's, yeah, I love it. And I'm so looking forward to be again in that container, in that space in April.
I'd love to invite you maybe around April again with your partner to talk about it, because I feel this deserves another whole episode of the podcast, so we don't need to rush now into it. And so, yeah, as I said, this is like an open invitation for another episode, maybe talking about detoxing. And so before finishing, I'd love to finish with the storytelling. I heard you talking more than once about your Sicilian grandmother and how your grandmother's gave you a transmission also about food and about the importance of the aliveness in food. What would you like to share with us today about your lineage, about your lineage surrounding food, or about how your grandmother's passed some knowledge?
My challenge with my family, with my grandma, accepting, of course, a Sicilian grandma, want to impose some rules of me on me. And so with the time, I could see and I could understand how much knowledge she actually passed to me. One of the stories that I love to recollect and is one of that moment where more pieces of a puzzle came together. As a child, I was always in a rush, and I think that a lot of people are always in a rush to do something to do. They are not very patient. Patience is something that I literally learn, and the food and the kitchen has been a big teacher of me. But I remember my grandma receiving food from Sicily. Literally, there was a camion coming from the south and bringing all the goods from a land that at the time we had in Sicily. Then my grandmother was passing these beans. I still remember are the beans with the eyes, a sort of borlotti, and were very cute. She was passing one by one, and this already took so much time. I was like, wow, crazy. Why she does? Just don't throw them in a pot. By the way, that kind of beans with then rice was one of my favorite plates. So I was, just for this reason, I was putting some patience to wait. And then I asked to my grandma, Grandma, what are you doing? And she would simply explain, I'm separating the beans from the stones. Because at that time, the food was still connected with the soil. This is something that also I wish to everyone that is listening, I wish to you trace of soil in your food. I wish to you trace of life in your food. We have been living in a completely antibiotical food industry. I wish to you to find some bacteria and find some life, even as snails. That means that your food is not poison, but actually allow life on it. So don't freak out. If there is life on your food, actually welcome it. So my grandma was separating, to go back to the story, the beans, and after doing that, she put it in the water. She put it in the water and was staring at this water in this bowl. And I then asked again, because I thought that my grandma was losing it. Like, what is time and what is this love story with these beans? She looked at me and she said, look, Erika, you see? Some of them are floating. Some of them went down, but few of them are on top floating. You know what does it mean? I say, no, Grandma, I don't know. Well, we will leave them other 5 minutes, and if they are still floating, then we will take it out, because it means that they are not accepting water in them. That means that there is not any more life force in them, and we don't want in our plate anything that doesn't have life force. Of course, she probably didn't use the word life force, but she said, these are not alive, we don't want it. That moment when I reconnect at the day, when I reconnected a few years ago, was like the ha-ha moment, where I literally understood that my grandma was a magician, because she was creating life, and I could be a magician too. The story doesn't end there. I was very excited about these live beans. So when my mama came back from school, she was a teacher at school. She came back and I tell the story of the beans and the live beans. And so my mama said, yeah, you know what? There is even more. You know that we can grow a plant from that one? No. could not make my head around it. I said, no, you are joking with me. She said, no, I will show you. So we, after 24 hours of soaking, we proceed and we put these little beans in a bed of cotton. And I could literally see the magic happen. From a beans that is even not 1 centimeter of length, I could see an entire plant that was over 1 meter coming from it. If this is not pure magic, where matter is created from nothing, what is that? In that moment, I understood that what we are eating is not only what we see, but there is much more behind it. And there, I think that has been the beginning of my journey into the Soul Method and into create in this reality the food that is much more than what you can taste and see, but is the future that will allow you to be the highest, in the highest benefit of all, the better version of you.
Interesting. So as a child, that we see magic everywhere, or we see the universe much more magic usually than when we are adults, you started seeing also magic in food. And then it became your way to contribute to the magic of the universe, also your way to pass down that magic also in your daily life.
Yeah, absolutely. In many things. And grandma has been a big teacher of it. Cake, pan di Spagna, many things, many lessons there. Many.
I'd love to end the conversation like this with your Sicilian grandmother. Thank you again for coming, and thank you for your time and your generosity. And I feel there are a lot of words that the listeners can meditate on them for hours even. So I feel like this episode was not just about food, it was about decoding also the principles of life. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. Thank you for having me.
If you have enjoyed this episode and you like the content on Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers podcast, please show us some love by hitting the subscribe button and sharing this podcast with your friends.